I was and what we're talking about. This is a second half of last week's message we didn't get done. Proverbs chapter 4. We're teaching on wisdom, and then we're teaching on the heart, the wisdom in the heart. And that's kind of where we are in this series right now. I want to review a little bit for you so you can remember what we were saying. Proverbs 4. And verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence, out of it are the issues of life. And Proverbs 4:21, "Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart." Talking about the Father's commandment. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk about wisdom in the heart. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. Thank you, Lord, that my voice is good enough to get through a message. And thank you, we have your word. What a privilege. Thank you for stirring our hearts for Baguio City and the need there, Father. And I just thank you for just hearing and seeing that what you're doing. Lord, they have a great expense there, Lord, and they are in a resort town of the Philippines. And it's expensive, Lord, and they want to expand and do more. And the world's open to them, Father, and just the place is. And we pray you be with them. Use them, fill them, and put your hand upon their ministry, Lord. We ask, we thank you for doing so already. We pray you'd do more, Father, and work more. Pray for us, Lord. We need our hearts carefully guarded. We pray you'd give us wisdom and speak to us through the word and help us to get wisdom of how to handle our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The heart, we said, is the center of your feelings. We think heart and love are the exact same things, that they're the same thing, and it's the same word, but they're not. So the Bible says, love the Lord with your heart. Your heart is the seat of emotions. Love comes out of your heart, but so do a lot of things. Bitterness comes out of your heart, and many things come out of your heart. It's the seat of your emotions. And you're supposed to guard that heart, because whatever that heart says, you're going to do. When that heart controls you, you cannot stop, we said, your heart from taking you anywhere. Your heart will take you anywhere it's attached to. That's why you're supposed to keep your heart with all diligence. The only thing you can do is decide what your heart gets attached to, because once it's attached, you can't stop it. You're going to do what your heart said. We cannot stop it. Once our heart's attached to this world, we'll follow the world. If you're attached to someone and you love them, your heart's going to go after them. If your heart is attached to money, you will follow money. You can't deny your heart just for temporarily. You can try to resist it, but eventually you're going to be drug wherever your heart goes. So you must keep your heart, because the only control you have is not to go against what your heart wants to do. You can't. The only thing you can do is control what your heart gets attached to. And that's our job. Love the Lord with all of your heart, the Bible says. You're supposed to attach your heart to good things. You're supposed to attach the heart to the right things. And so we said it underneath this, you keep your heart carefully. We just read that verse. Solomon didn't. And even Solomon, in all of his wisdom and his blessing from God, Solomon's life was destroyed because his heart was given to women who turned his heart. There's nothing you can do about it. Solomon knew he's doing wrong. Solomon knew better to do it. But he loves many strange women, and they turned his heart from God, and then he worshiped idols of God. The man who God talked to personally and gave more wisdom than any man, who built a temple and watched God fill it up, that man, because his heart got attached to the wrong people, his rest of his life and kingdom were destroyed because his heart was attached to the wrong thing. Therefore, you must guard your heart. It isn't a light thing. It isn't a careless thing where you just say, well, I hope for the best. No, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of your heart are the issues of life. We said, first of all, give your heart to the right people. Over and over in Proverbs, my son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart. And I was talking parenting with one of the men at camp today. We had a good conversation about it. And one of the greatest things above anything else you can do in parenting, and there's a lot of things in parenting that are important, but if you can do one thing that's vitally, vitally important, is to get your children's heart. Whoever gets their heart's going to get them. And if the man of Proverbs, and I don't think it's biblical in God's pattern. This sounds like an unspiritual statement, but it's biblical. I don't think it's a biblical thing to say, well, I just want God to have their heart, and it doesn't matter. If you're the parent, you're supposed to have their heart. You can hand that heart off to God someday, but that heart's got to be attached until they can get attached to God. And by the way, it's good to be attached to good people. we read a lot of verses on that, it was so important. This dad kept repeating, "Son, give me thine heart." He said, "Follow my words with your heart, son. Believe him and believe what I'm telling you, and do that." And then we talked a lot in the Proverbs. It says, "Don't let the wrong people have your heart." That's vital in Proverbs. And I got a bunch of verses written down. Don't let the wrong people get your heart. We said the opposite sex, certainly immoral people, alcohol, people who hate. Let's read one, Proverbs 23. Don't let the wrong people get your heart. Verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. I've heard wise people say, if you will show me who your heroes are, I can tell you what your life's going to turn out like. And let not your heart envy sinners. And sinners look really good on TV. But then eventually their lives should turn out bad. But and I like sports. I like sports a lot. But I want to say that I don't envy athletes, and they're not my heroes. I don't envy the great Mariner players, because there are none, first of all. There's some people I envy. I envy a guy who turned out his kids real well more than I envy somebody who can hit a home run. I envy someone who can pray more than I envy someone who can score a touchdown. And a lot of those people are pretty immoral people. Don't let your heart envy sinners. And boy, the world and the devil works hard on this, and to get our teenagers, and they put the most beautiful, best-looking movie stars and singers and everything else, and it's natural for a kid to go envy those people. But I want to say, the Bible says don't let your heart envy them. Just watch the end of their life. Don't let them have your heart. So you don't let the wrong people have your heart. You protect your heart from the wrong people. And I want to say one of the biggest ways to do that is music. Music is the, a man with a master's in music told me one time, he said, music is the direct highway into your heart. There's no turns, there's no stops, there's no lights. It is a direct highway to your heart. You feel nothing deeper than you feel music. And so when music and sinners get your heart with music, you're in big trouble. I've told you a million times, if we don't get your music, God's not going to get your whole life. Music is so important because it grabs your heart. Some of us can listen to violins play and start crying. And some people can listen to guitar. And boy, music is powerful, and that's why you've got to have the right kind of music, because you've got to not let the wrong people have your heart. Because when you're listening to music, whoever sing that song now has your heart, if you like the music. Now, I can listen to some music and say, that sounds terrible. It's not going to get my heart. But whatever kind of music you like, when you listen to, it moves you. And it can be whatever it is. And that's why music is so vitally important, life or death important spiritually, because you are supposed to not give your heart to the wrong people. And it's very dangerous. And so we got to not let the wrong people have our heart. Now, as we're continuing on, we said apply your heart. And we talked about how the people who apply themselves get a lot more done here. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8, it says, the wise in heart shall receive commandment. The wise in heart shall receive commandment. And Proverbs 23, I'm going to get you, we're just reviewing a little bit of last week's, how important it is with wisdom in our heart. Proverbs 23 and verse 33. Thine eyes, I guess I got the wrong verse written down there. Proverbs 23:12. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to words of knowledge. So you're supposed to apply your heart, focus it. And we said last week, we had a few who went to college, how you saw people who didn't apply heart. Have you ever seen somebody try to learn something that didn't apply their heart to it? Music is a good example. There are some people, their parents pay for lessons, and the kid just doesn't care. You know how good that goes in the music department when they try to learn that? How many didn't really want to learn? Maybe you wished you would have, but you didn't really want to learn when somebody tried to give you music lessons. How many of you? All right. And did you learn very well? Yeah. Learn very well when you get that. You got to apply your heart unto wisdom. An applied heart's very important. Next, you guide your heart, not your heart guiding you. And then Proverbs 23, since we're we're here. Proverbs 23:19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Guide thine heart in the way. You're supposed to guide your heart. How do you guide your heart? Listen, you find what moves you, and you take what moves you and point it towards what you want to move toward. Okay? Music moves you. No, some people in this room, music's fine. There's other people who music's everything. Okay? You have to get the right music and let it guide your heart. You say music, you're going to do this. I can watch this video right here. Missions moves me. Missions moves me. I don't know why. I don't understand why. All of my wiring. I am moved far more by missions than I am America. It just moved me. I watch that video, and I say, here am I, Lord, let's go. I'll go pass out Bibles for you. I'm ready to go. And so I like bringing in missionaries. I like bringing the whatever their name is in here. And my heart's moved toward them, but I just can't remember the name. Froy, how you say it? I even get your first name right? Okay, I got the first name right. I should just call you that. And Medina. Got it. All right. And now I can pray for you again. I was done with it. I'm moved by seeing little kids standing there getting handed a Bible. Maybe that doesn't move you. That's fine. I'm not saying it's bad if that didn't move you. What does move you then? Find it and you guide your heart. Guide your heart. Some people, they loved writing poetry, and they wrote a hymn, and we sing those hymns today because they'd express themselves through poetry. Sometimes it's visual. Sometimes find it, and you guide your heart. I can say this. The Bible says one of the biggest things that guides your heart is your eyes. Mine eye affecteth mine heart, Lamentations 3:51 says. What you look at. Jesus, the Bible says, and Jesus seeing the multitudes is moved with compassion. We are very visual people. Hey, watch a dog. Dog doesn't care what he's looking at. He's sniffing everything. Just head down, just sniffing. Because they go through their smell sense. And their hearts are moved by their nose. You as a human, we are visual. Jordan, buddy, I'm going to need you to go sit by your mama. Can you do that for me? Your mama needs you to keep her good in church. And so go sit by her and make sure she doesn't get in any trouble. And our eyes are huge, what we look at. Mine eye affected mine heart. You want to guard your heart? You want to guide your heart? What do you watch and look at? Jesus seeing the multitudes move the compassion. You know, the problem is what you're looking at a lot of times, not you, but most people, they're looking at a television that's showing them immorality. And their heart's getting guided towards immorality. No wonder the Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. Because it's going to affect your heart. And once your heart's affected, you can't stop. And it moves you very deeply. So you guide your heart. He that trusteth in his heart is a fool, Proverbs 28:26. Don't trust your heart. The heart of man is desperately wicked, the Bible says. Your heart is not to be trusted. It can hook itself. I mean, you're standing there and that heart's trying to grab something all the time. It's like as I illustrated last week, you're just standing on the side of the road and your heart's a magnet trying to hook itself onto the train going by and on the truck going by. It's trying to kill you. Your heart will attach itself to the wrong things. So you grab your heart and say, stick to this. I want to be there. You guide your heart. Your heart doesn't guide you because that's wisdom and because that's what God says to. Now, let's get to the new where we are. Next, do not let your heart become the wrong kind of heart. Do not let your heart become the wrong kind of heart. And I'm just going to give you a bunch of things around Proverbs. We're going to go all over. It's not in any particular order. First, there's some bad hearts listed in Proverbs. They're all in Proverbs. We'll all stay in Proverbs. These are bad hearts. These are heart turned bad, and there's a bunch of different kind of bad hearts. It's not just a bad heart. It's destroyed in many ways. Let's go to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. And verse 14. Happy is a man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth heart shall fall into mischief. First of all, it's a hard heart. That's wisdom says, do not get a hard heart. Hard heart means when God speaks, you say, I don't care. When a loving parent speaks, you shrug your shoulders. When you should have compassion, you pass on by. A hard heart, and that gets calloused by not doing when God leads you, not being in touch. You have a hard heart, you're in big trouble. Next, a destructive heart. Different kind of hearts you can have and how your heart can be ruined. And I want you to look at yourself and say, do I have one of these bad characteristics in my heart? Proverbs 24 and verse 2. Their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Their heart studieth destruction. That's a destructive heart. Some people are builders, and some people are destroyers. And that's just a fact. Do you know certain people, every church they go to, they split the church? Do you know there are certain people, every time they get in your family's going to have contention because they're around? Do you know some people like it when you feel bad? Because they have a destructive heart. Bible says be an edifier, builder-upper, one who builds. And so you can have a destructive heart. Next, you can have a foolish heart. There's a lot of verses that we can read all over the Bible, but in Proverbs especially. Proverbs 22, verse 5. This is the verse. It's very hard for people to understand. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him. It is normal and natural for your child to be foolish, and it's in his heart. That is so hard for parents to understand, because they got that two-year-old pretty little girl or that handsome little two-year-old boy, and they realize he has a foolish heart by nature, and you got to beat it out of him. I have seven kids. Trust me, it's in every one of them. It was, I mean, Freudian, but it was in every single one of them, and so often when that child is 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, those parents see, man, why does he do that? He's such a good boy. They have such a good heart. You're putting on your rose-colored glasses. You better deal with it when they're 2 or 1, because their foolishness is bound in them. It's in their heart. It's built in. It's a standard option on everyone and every model. Some of them have it buried a lot deeper, and you have to do a lot more to get it out. Some of them are very tender-hearted, and it might come out very quickly. More often, I hate to say this, it's the truth, more often in boys, it's in there a lot harder. How many parents have I seen who had a girl first and said, what's wrong with this kid? Can I take him back when the boy came? Because they're a lot more strong-willed, and there's a lot more foolishness in boys generally. Amen, parents who have both? Not my case. My boys are awesome. My girls are brats. But somewhere I've seen that. I've heard about it. I read it somewhere. But it's normal. Hey, I was a boy, and there's a lot of foolishness bound in my heart. There's a few boys who were good. How many of you were good boys? It didn't take much. Oh, come on. It's still bound. I'm kidding. Next point is a proud heart. Those people who think they're really good. No, I'm kidding. But really, understand you're not going to do a good job raising your kids if you don't realize foolishness is in them, and you got to get it out. That's a parent's job. And if you think, well, I'll explain it all to them and logic with them when they're 12. Good luck. It's in there. And you got to get it out. And they'll show it. If you start watching and quit lying to yourself and quit putting the rose-colored glasses and say, you know what? That little brat just told me no. That little kid just walked right away from me and I told him not to do it. Matter of fact, I said, don't grab that. And they said, because it's bound in them. And you got to get it out. And even good kids. And good kids are, you can get it out pretty easy if you love them and you discipline them. But it's bound in there. Next, a haughty heart. This is the next point. Proverbs 18, a haughty heart. Verse 12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. The heart of man is haughty. Haughty is even above pride. It's an arrogant proud. You've met haughty people occasionally. They're not super common, but a haughty person not only thinks that nothing is going to happen to them, they strut it, they flaunt it. they go overboard and they just, they flat out tell you they know what they're doing. It's never going to affect them. They've got it all. They're haughty, flauntingly, and that person is about to be destroyed. I saw an email that got sent to military people one time. I was with a military person, and they got their email, and it showed a picture. They had a big problem with these the soldiers when they come back from war zones, that they just need adrenaline rushes, and they basically said this email to say, hey, you're not indestructible, and they showed a wreck of a guy who was going 160 on his motorcycle when he crashed. And they got all the pieces of his body and stacked them in a pile and took a picture. And it says, you know what? You're not indestructible. He had a nice helmet, nice coat, nice everything. He had all the most expensive stuff. When you go 165 and start sliding down the road and fly into a tree, your body blows up. And they were so haughty, they thought they were indestructible. They made it through war. And you're not in trouble when you're haughty. You think you can't fall. You think you know it all. You think that you're indestructible. You think, listen, you need to not be haughty because it's about to be destroyed. That's the kind of heart we can get. Next, a heart that fights God. A heart that fights God. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. It's a heart fretting against God and fighting and griping against God. Next, and this is a sad one, but a worthless heart. Bible says a worthless heart. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 20. A worthless heart. It says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is of little worth. That's a sad thing when God says your heart's of little worth. That's pretty sad. And a worthless heart. Next, a froward heart is a common word in Proverbs. I want to explain it to you because you probably read it a bunch of times. You'll think it says forward, but it says froward with an R at the start. And it's an important word in Proverbs. Proverbs 11 and verse 20. They that are of a froward heart are an abomination unto the Lord, and such as upright in their ways are his delight. The word froward, closest word we'd have to it is twisted. Perverted, and it says they're an abomination to God. It's going where it shouldn't go and being twisted, and it's a interesting word in Hebrew, a twisted, perverted heart. Next, and is arrogant also, a sneaky heart. Proverbs chapter 7. And verse 10, a sneaky heart. And behold, there met a woman with an attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Just spend a moment on this. Subtle of heart. Subtle means crafty. And she's a bad woman because she's going to craftily seduce him into adultery and ruining his life. If your heart is instantly and by nature hiding and sneaky, and the first thing you think is sneaky, it's not good. The first thing you should think is light and clarity and honesty. I'm not saying there's not a time. The Bible says we should be wise as serpents and harmless as dove. Where we're wise, where we're smart in what we do and stuff. But there's also just a craftiness of a dishonest heart that's always trying to cheat somebody. You ever meet someone who just, it seems like they never want to earn an honest dollar? Just plain old work and get money. They always try to, they've got to have some twisted, kind of crooked, kind of back way where they really don't have to work and they sneak it out of people. It's just always in them. And you don't want to have that kind of heart. You want to have an honest heart and one that's not sneaky. Next, a backslidden heart. Proverbs 14, a backslidden heart. In verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. A backslidden heart, I think you know what that is. And Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 4, one more is a proud heart. Proverbs 21:4, high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. So a proud heart is another bad heart we can have. So don't let your heart become the wrong kind of heart. And then last of all, have the right kind of heart. Have the right kind of heart. I'm just going to give you four of these. Number one, have an understanding heart. Proverbs chapter 8, have an understanding heart. Proverbs 8:5, oh, you simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be of an understanding heart. perceiving, seeing, grasping what's going on. And I try to teach you this and try to oftentimes help you to step back and understand why that happened. Understand what the result of this is. Understand the whole picture. You have an understanding heart that gets things instead of just can't see the trees of the forest. Next, have a wise heart. And I want us to analyze our hearts and see if there are these things. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a proud and fool shall fall. Proverbs 16. A wise heart. And verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. So you want to have a wise heart. And that's what the Bible says. Next, a heart that we want to have is a merry heart. A merry heart. Proverbs chapter 17. And verse 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart. If you have a merry heart, and very hard to explain this kind of, the right kind of heart, because a good heart of a good Christian is at the same time a merry heart and a broken heart. And it's very hard to explain that. If you've seen it or been around it, you know what I'm talking about. You can look at the video and you have your heart broken and you have a burden for souls and you have a burden for your family to be saved. At the same time, your heart's pretty happy. You're on the right path. You're serving the God of the universe. You're going to heaven. And you know what? You have joy and peace and God's blessed you and you know you're blessed. And it's a merry heart, a happy heart. The Bible says that a person with a happy heart is very safe and good, and they're in good condition. Proverbs chapter 15, you want to have a merry heart. There's a time when your heart's going to be broken, where you're fast and you're overwhelmed with burden. And Jesus had that at Gethsemane and others. I understand that. But a merry heart does you good. There are seasons of heaviness. I understand that. But there's also, listen, the Bible says if you're serving the Lord, he'll keep you in perfect peace. And he'll give you joy unspeakable. And in his presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And he, Jesus, I spoke these things that my joy might remain in you and your joy would be full. And it's just supposed to have a merry heart. Proverbs 15 and verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. I love to teach that. If your heart has too much sorrow for too long, it breaks your spirit. You don't have a will anymore to do what's right or to do anything. You just break. Verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of merry heart hath a continual feast. It's always party time when you have a merry heart. You can be happy in the middle of anywhere. My favorite place to be happy when everybody else is miserable is the airport. I think the airport is a great place for entertainment. I like traveling, first of all. Secondly, I know a lot about history. I know how long travel used to take. And I know, you know, when I fly to Miami or I fly to whatever country, I know you would have took me 3 months to get there before. And here's this person. Oh, this stupid TSA. This is the stupidest thing. Why don't they go? I mean, they're just griping the whole way. And you just watch people, and they're all going to get on a hunk of metal and fly through the air at 500 miles per hour and land safely. That's pretty cool. And then if you just sit down and you got a long wait, you know what? People are more entertaining than the zoo. Just watch people. They're weird. They dress weird. They talk weird. I can listen to him order a coffee and use 15 words, like a double shot, non-fat, extra fluff, caramel macchiato, extra frappuccino, plus, minus this, and it takes 25. I'm sitting there going, that is hilarious. What is that thing? It's like a monster. And you just sit around and just watch people. And you know what? When your heart is merry and you're full of joy, to come up to happiness and laughter is not, you're not coming up from the 20-foot of water section. You're coming up, your head just under the water. I mean, anytime you can pop up and laugh and have fun and because you're pretty happy. And you know what? When you're pretty happy and you're serving the Lord, the devil has a real hard time of getting you to quit. A merry heart does it good like a medicine. And when your heart is merry, you have a continual feast. And you should have a merry heart. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. and by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And one last heart is a heart that trusts God. Proverbs chapter 3. If you want to have a good heart and the right kind of heart, we mentioned all those bad kind of hearts, but is your heart the right kind of heart? It's a well-known verse, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. If you ask every Christian, if you ask them, do you trust the Lord? Most every Christian says, yes, I trust the Lord. But then if you brought it down to reality, so you tithe, right? Well, I can't afford to. You just said you don't trust the Lord. Do you trust the Lord with all your heart? Of course I do. Good. God just called you to go be a missionary. Well, I'm not going there. Are you crazy? I'm going to die if I go there. Do you trust the Lord with all your heart? Do you trust the Lord with the heart? Sure, I do. Good. Then only date the right kind of person. Well, I might not get married. Well, that's nice to say you trust the Lord. I mean, it's really easy to say. But you know what? Trusting it means, you know, you ever had a backseat driver? Don't slow down. Watch. Do you see that car? What are you doing? Did you know how close you are? Do you trust me? Yes, I trust you, but you're just going too close. And you know what you want to do with them. And if you're a stubborn man with foolishness still in his heart like me, you know what you do? You get closer just to bother him. You know why? Because you have foolishness still bound in your heart. And you know, you don't think, you know what? I'm listening to them, and I'm so glad that they criticize my driving and say all these things. I'm relaxed about it. I'm happy. But no, you should say, you know what? You don't trust me. Get out of my car. I'm telling you all this so when you ride with me, if you say anything, I will go closer. And I've been in 43 car wrecks. Don't mess with me. And everybody says they trust the Lord. But you know you trust the Lord with all your heart when God can say, and you say, yes, sir. God says, jump. You say, how high? God says, give me your life. And you say, you don't say, okay, God, I'll give it to you. Just tell me what you're going to do with it. That's not trusting the Lord. You think he's going to do something bad. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. You have a heart that, yeah, I know you don't trust people. That's fine. You should fix that someday, and you can, because you trust the Lord enough that God can protect you from people. Trust in the Lord. Have a trusting heart. And if you do these things and you're wise with your heart in these ways, as Proverbs says, and you keep your heart with all diligence, you're going to be fine. But if you don't keep your heart with all diligence, you're in big trouble. Let's have wise hearts. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. Thank you, my voice made it through it, Lord. Thank you that you give us so much wisdom from Proverbs, Lord. And this certainly wasn't exhaustive on the heart and wisdom. But as we went through it, Lord, I pray we'd see our own hearts as they are. And I pray we'd do what we ought to do. And I pray that if there's some danger in our heart, I pray today we'd be wise enough to cut off whatever's reaching in there, whatever it's attaching to, dislodge it and bring it back and attach the right thing. And I pray we'd analyze our heart if it's destructive or backslidden or hard or haughty, and just check and see if it's trusting and merry and all right like it should be. Help with the seat of our emotions, which all the issues of life are out of, that would be right. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed.